We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
My personality was to blame.
What the call is that?
I was not afraid to say what was on my mind.
Boomer Esiason.
Esiason, wide open is Brooks. Boomer just threw that football up like it was on a hanger.
Host of Boomer and Geo, mornings on WFAN.
Why don't you just announce it on WFAN?
1988 NFL MVP.
The Cincinnati Bengals AFC champion.
NFL All-Pro and four-time Pro Bowler.
Esiason, the talk of Cincinnati.
Our very own Monday afternoon quarterback.
Well, I'd probably want to kick Boomer's ass because he's slow. You know, he's got the reach. I come in, pop, 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 and out.
Boomer Esiason with Danny Parkins on 670 The Score.
He normally makes us feel better after Bears games. I think he has an impossible task today. He joins us on the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park. What's up, Boomer? How was your Thanksgiving?
It was great, Danny, and good to have you back. You know, I thought last week was my best show ever on this station, and you weren't there to witness it, and I missed you last week. So hopefully you had a good Thanksgiving, and here we are once again after a five-game losing streak trying to answer questions. And the only thing I can tell you is what you saw on the other side of the field is what you want as a Bears fan, and
Thanks. That's
really hard to find. And unfortunately for you guys, you've been dealing with the Green Bay Packers through two Hall of Famers, and you got sliced and diced again, 7-1 in his last eight against you guys. He loves playing against the Bears, 16 touchdowns, one interception. You know all the numbers. That is either 1 or 1A in the NFL right now at that position. And they are so far in front of, I would say, the other – there's probably about, you know, Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger are right there with Mahomes and Aaron, but I think Aaron Rodgers and Mahomes are just a tad bit better than everybody else. But this is the, you know, the $400 million question, which is what Mahomes is going to be earning over the next 10 years. You know, where is that guy? Who is that guy? And is there another guy out there that can go toe to toe with Patrick Mahomes? And obviously for Bears fans right now, the answer is no, which is unfortunate. And that's why you spend money on defense. Hopefully that defense can get you there. And then when the defense was exposed like it was last night, it just makes it all the more horrific to watch.
Yeah, they hit Aaron Rodgers zero times. Obviously, there was no Akeem Hicks. Tony Dungy questioned their effort, and he's a fairly reserved analyst. Matt Nagy disputed it. Did you see some quit in the Bears' defense last night?
You know, I don't want to say that about anybody. You put a helmet and shoulder pads, you go out on the field, you know, you're putting yourself in danger. You know, those are strong words, and strong words by a respected coach, a respected human being, and somebody I think all of us truly admire in Tony Dungy. So I'll let him speak for himself. I don't necessarily feel that way. I know that, you know, when somebody hangs 40 on you, you feel like as if you did give up. Maybe there was a little less hustle in the fourth quarter or something like that. But, you know, you got to understand, the Bears defense for years now has felt like it's been out on an island. And they're never going to come out and throw anybody under the bus. Hopefully they won't. That's not the nature of our game. But we all can see what we see, and we all understand exactly what's happening. And, you know, unfortunately, Matt Nagy's got to be in the center of it, much like Adam Gase is in the center of it here in New York. Matt Patricia had been in the center of it in Detroit. He's gone. Jim Caldwell had been in the center of it down in Jacksonville. He's gone. You know, these jobs aren't long unless you have a Hall of Fame quarterback. And even if you do, you may lose your job a la Mike McCarthy. So, I mean, it's the $400 million question, Danny, that everybody's trying to answer.
We're talking to Boomer Esiason here, the Danny Parkins Show on The Score. So I don't expect you to know, like, the entire history of the Bears, like, front office machinations and all of that. But, like, so Ryan Pace has 1 year left on his contract. Matt Nagy has two. Nagy just hired an offensive coordinator, a quarterback coach, an offensive line coach. January of this year. So there's a lot of brand new assistants who with new contracts.
None of it matters.
So you think they could all be fired?
Oh, 100%. Anybody can be fired at any day in the NFL. This is a not prolonged businesses. Jerry Glanville once said in the ear of an official when he made a mistake on the field and could have cost Jerry his job in Houston. Maybe I cost Jerry his job in Houston. I don't know. But, you know, it's a not prolonged business, you know, and it's about what have you done for me lately? And nobody cares about the pandemic. Nobody cares about that there's no fans. Nobody cares that, you know, that these players have got to somehow, some way, you know, get themselves jacked up for 16 weeks. I know it sounds easy to do that. It's not, especially when you believe when going into the game, you really probably don't have the chance. And when your quarterback just heaves one down the field and gives the ball back to Aaron Rodgers, you know, just in a mind-numbing decision, it just takes the wind out of the sails of the entire team. And the morale is probably in the toilet now, especially after a 5-game losing streak. So I've been a part of both winning and losing in the NFL. And it is not, it's no fun where the Bears are right now. Believe me, it's just miserable. And I feel bad for the families of the coaches. I hate talking about their jobs. I hate talking about the front office jobs, but at the end of the day, the business side of the team is going to go to the owner and say, look, man, we can't sell sponsors. We can't sell, not that they would anyway right now, because nobody's going to these games, but you know, for next year, maybe the year after, season tickets or sales are down. They need something to sell. You know, they want to sell a product that everybody can buy into on the field. And there are 32 teams all doing the same thing, all trying to find the best way to do that. And that's why, you know, you see the writing on the wall, especially here in New York. I mean, you can't be 0-11 and expect to get your job back next year because you can't sell sponsorships and you can't sell seats. So it's the business that they're in. It's an ugly business. And there are people that lose jobs and families that have to move. It's a nomad business, but, you know, Matt Nagy can say that, you know, I got to this point and, you know, maybe it didn't work out so well for me simply because I didn't have the player at the most important position to keep me in my job if he gets fired.
Do you think he will be?
Hard to say. You know, it's, you know, the McCaskies are kind of like the Browns, you know, down at the Bengals. When I say the Browns, I mean the owner, the family, the Browns, Paul Brown's family that own the Bengals. They're very patient. You know, they gave Marvin Lewis like 16 years. I don't know what they'll do with their present coach, given that there's been some chirping out of the locker room and Joe Burrow gets hurt now. So there's no telling what they'll do either, but they've always been set in their ways. You know, the Ford family had always been set in their ways for the most part. So people are reacting now, you know, COVID has been doing weird things to people. So yeah. Anything is possible. I mean, it's just amazing. Like everybody now to me and in our business, Danny, you tell me if I'm seeing this wrong. I feel like social media, both in the public venue, which would be, I guess, politics and social justice, and then also in the sports venues of just the abhorrent discussions that are going on around people that are in our business and trying to get people fired and taking great joy in that. You know, I don't really enjoy that part of it, but I understand we have to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, I've experienced it up close and personal in the year 2020. It's certainly not enjoyable, and it's the type of thing where, you know, when you talk about an NFL head coach, it's such a results-oriented business, right? Like, that's not the type of thing that's going to get these guys fired. But what I've been thinking about, too, is, and I know that there's so much turnover every year, 6, 7, 8 jobs that come open, but, like, this year in particular, you could have the Jets job open, so you got New York and Trevor Lawrence attached to it. Got the Houston job open, attached to Deshaun Watson. You could have the Chargers job open with L.A. and Justin Herbert attached to it. That's not to mention the Falcons job, not to mention the Lions job. Like, I feel like the Bears job will not be perceived as a very good one if they fire Matt Nagy 2 years removed from winning Coach of the Year with no young QB attached to it compared to the other jobs in the marketplace.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, and then there's always going to be somebody that, you know, we don't expect to be fired for whatever reason. Like, you just never know. And then you don't know about the general manager situation either. I mean, that's another thing. I mean, you know, do you want to go work for a general manager who's working on a 1-year deal? I don't. I mean, that doesn't say, you know, long-term stability. That sounds like a general manager that's probably going to go out there and try to spend and sell and fix all the problems. So he can at least say that he's got a winner and we can get back to the playoffs and he can keep his job. And if I were in that situation, I'd probably be doing the same thing. So I'm not saying that's what these guys don't do. I mean, that's what they ultimately try to do, is they try to build a team the best way they know how, get the best players. And if they are backed into a corner and they got to start spending money on free agents, you know, it's not a panacea. Free agency is you're lucky if you get a quality guy or two that, you know, actually have the impact that you're paying them for. You're usually paying them for something they did somewhere else, as opposed to, you know, what they're going to do for you anyway. So I would always be very cautious about that. But it really comes down to the quarterback. It's a quarterback-driven league. We're surmising our what were we doing? We're doing something hypothetically on the show this morning here in New York, saying,
hypothesizing.
You know, if Cliff King – hypothesizing, there you go. Thank you very much, Danny.
No,
I don't know how I got this job in the first place. I have no idea.
You were
but
NFL MVP.
Anyway, yeah, maybe that's why. But, I was asking my partner Gio this morning in New York, if Cliff, with a K, Kingsbury, was the head coach of the Jets and he had Kyler Murray, would this be any different, or is it just a culture situation here for the Jets? And we don't really have an answer for that. Like, I'm like, I don't necessarily know that Cliff, with a K, Kingsbury, could handle the New York media. I mean, the New York media is like out for blood right now. And maybe the only thing that Adam Gase and Matt Nagy and these coaches have going for them is that they don't have to see them in person and they don't have to deal with the fans in person at these games, because I think it would just be just atrocious for them as human beings to deal with what they're dealing with right now. So I don't know. It's just it's a really tough time of year. It's everything rolled up into it in 2020. It's not been easy for all these coaches. And like I said, I don't get any joy about talking about this, but to me, the Bears are a legendary franchise. They're a foundation franchise of the NFL. I think of them as the original six, you know, one of the original six, like in the NHL. And with the Bears comes, you know, a lot of pressure. With the Bears comes, if you make it, as Mike Ditka can attest to, man, it's awesome. It doesn't get any better than that. It's a great franchise. It's a great brand. It's one of America's best brands, if you ask me. But in the midst of a 5-game losing streak, it's hard to believe that anybody would say that.
You know, and Boomer, I got to be honest with you. So, like, I was born in 1986. I'm watching that game last night, and Jim McMahon is doing the intro. 85 Bears. They're showing me the damn graphic of, you know, Sid Luckman being involved. Like, I want in my lifetime representative league average or above offensive football, because I've had it for like a year at a time. Like Mark Trestman's first year, Bears were a good offense. Like, you know, Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, Matt Forte, like, you know, like I've seen good players for a year, and then something happens. And it's just, it's wild. In 34 years, the Bears have never been a consistent above average offense for like 2 or 3 years in a row. It's never happened.
Yeah, you haven't seen sustained brilliance. You know, you haven't seen Tom Brady in 20 years in New England, which was unheard of. And I don't know if Patrick Mahomes will be able to match all of what Tom Brady did in New England. It would be a miracle if he did, stay in Kansas City for 20 years. But already seeing the great 42 first games of Patrick Mahomes is ridiculous. I mean, how great he is and how easy he makes it look. And, you know, that's, he's a special breed. It's just hard to find guys like him in the way that Aaron Rodgers played last night. I could make an argument that Aaron Rodgers is playing the best football of his career this year, the year that they drafted Jordan Love, the year that they're coming through a pandemic, the year that maybe their defense is in the top 20 defense, and he's out there playing like it's backyard football, like nobody's around him. I've never seen him. I've seen him play great, don't get me wrong, but the consistency of what he has done this year and the numbers that he's putting up are frightening. So, you know, that's what every franchise wants, Danny. Every team of fan of every team wants exactly what you want. You want that guy that is going to be the coach, whether it be Ditka or whether it be the quarterback that is Jim McMahon. And it's too bad they couldn't stay together longer and win more, but the 80s were strife with all sorts of issues and distractions. Hell, I lived through it, so I saw it. But, yeah. You know, it's just hard to do it and sustain it for as long as some of these quarterbacks have been able to do.
I got to be honest, though. I felt a little bad for Kendall Hinton yesterday. That dude was thrown into the deep end. My God.
But you understand why they ended up doing so here in New York, there was a lot of press about how the Baltimore Ravens were basically getting all these chances. Like the NFL was bending over backwards. They should play. They should show up and play. The reason that game was moved to tomorrow night and it wasn't played last Thursday and it wasn't played yesterday is pretty simple. There's one single word that the NFL is using in regards to COVID-19 when it comes down to these individual franchises, and that is containment. Can they contain the virus once it hits? And the Denver Broncos did such a great job that nobody else got sick, that they were able to contain it. They knew where it was. They knew who had it. They knew who was exposed to it. So therefore, they couldn't play. And they couldn't play without a quarterback. That's how good they contained it. Now, as far as Baltimore is concerned, you know, it was came from their weight room, and it came from an assistant weight training coach that didn't wear a mask. And his watch that they all have to wear showed how many people were around him for how long they were around him. And that's one of the reasons why the NFL knew that there were going to be more Baltimore Ravens on that list. And there was no way that they were going to be able to get on a plane with guys that they knew that were going to pop positive before they took off. So it's one of the reasons why containing the virus is so important, and why yesterday on the NFL Today, Bill Cowher is advocating that every team go into its own bubble right now and basically sacrifice the month of December through week 18 so we can finish the season, play 16 games, and we don't have happen what happened to the Denver Broncos yesterday and create a competitive imbalance, which is exactly what happened. And basically the bearers of that fruit happen to be the New Orleans Saints.
Do you have any reason to believe that's about to happen?
I believe it will. I think the NFL is terrified of what happened in Baltimore. It happened in Tennessee 8 weeks ago, where somebody in Tennessee was lackadaisical. They weren't wearing a mask. They contact traced, and they knew exactly what was happening. And this is why the NFL is really, in my opinion, I think the NFL has done an unbelievable job. And for the most part, the players, the coaches, and all of the organizations have done an amazing job keeping this thing going. I mean, I'm waiting for them to shut the thing down for 2 weeks and maybe only play a 14-game season. I know that's a contingency plan and add an eighth playoff team on each side, but I hope it doesn't come to that. And if they were smart, they would sacrifice December and the first week of January and put their teams in bubbles and say goodbye to your families, much like the NHL and the NBA did. Well, the NBA brought some of their family members with them, but I would say that that would probably be the smartest thing now, especially with the COVID cases rising and how, if somebody is testing positive for COVID, it is affecting the team and then therefore the game that that team is about to play.
Yeah, that game yesterday, I mean, I called it a farce. It felt a little harsh given that it was a pandemic, but like that was not an NFL football game that occurred between the Saints and the Broncos yesterday. I mean, Interestingly enough,
they have a coach on their staff who's a quality control coach. His name is Rob Calabrese. Rob Calabrese was the greatest high school football player from my personal high school on Long Island, East Islip, Long Island. He was a great high school football player, and he played at UCF before Blake Bortles did. So he got into coaching after his career was over, and he's a quality control coach and ran practice for them for 2 days. And the NFL wouldn't let him play for one simple reason. I thought it was a safety reason, but it's not a safety reason. I would not have wanted to see Rob go out there and play after not playing for the last 7 years. But it's not for a safety reason. It was because they didn't want coaching staffs stashing players as coaches on their staff and then activating those coaches when they need them.
Right, roster manipulation, basically.
Yeah. I mean, this is what you got to think of. You can't believe it. Like in the middle of a pandemic, don't you think it would have been practical? So you know what? Let this kid play. At least he knows the position, and let him go out there and try to complete a pass, as opposed to basically handing a game to New Orleans while risking injury to a kid who has never played the position against a team that sacked the quarterback they played last week 8 times. To me, it was more of a safety issue than anything else.
Yeah, totally reasonable. When I was looking it up, I'm like, okay, he played at Wake Forest. He's 6 foot, 190 pounds. He's a practice squad receiver. Like, I just bet the under. You know what I mean? Like that was my reaction to the news. Just bet the under, bet the Saints, and be done with it. But it was a wild thing. And I agree with you, man. Like I do feel like the NFL has done a good job, but I also feel like they're just the locomotive that's full steam ahead. It feels like nothing is getting them to cancel a game. If they haven't canceled a game yet, they're not canceling any games.
Well, there's only 16 of them, and each one is precious all unto itself, and you're talking about competitive balance now. And that's really the most important thing, is that all the teams play the same amount of games. You know, this is not college where the Big Ten and Ohio State have played five games and the ACC and Clemson have played eight games and somebody else has played 10 games. You know, this is professional football. They're all kind of undergoing the same kind of situation. They're all supposed to be containing the virus if they can. Just that a couple teams or a couple guys here and there, Drew Locke in this case, are going to make really bad decisions, and they're going to screw up a lot of people's jobs and livelihoods, and, you know, could end up, you know, costing a game or two somewhere along the line, and then maybe going through the contingency where you add an extra playoff team just to get to some sort of reality when it comes to allowing teams to make the playoffs. So, we have the CBS. CBS does. I hope that we make it. I want to be in Tampa for the Super Bowl. I just know that the next couple of weeks are going to be, man, we're all going to be sitting on eggshells or pins and needles, however you want to describe it. Hopefully we're going to get through this thing.
Boomer, good stuff as always. Stay safe. We'll talk next week.
Okay, Danny. Thanks, man. Hang in there, brother. Talk to you next week.
Thank you. You as well. That's Boomer Esiason, NFL Today on CBS and WFAN in New York. Mark Grody will join us at 4 o'clock. We have a ton of Bears Monday calls. People have all sorts of suggestions on how to fix the Bears, and I'm not sure if any of them are going to work, but hey, that's how big of a problem it is right now, so we'll hear from you. Plus, so Boomer always gives us the national perspective, right? In a good way, I think. A rational, national perspective on the Bears. Man, we got a lot of it in a bad way last night, and frankly, I'm getting a little tired of it. It's next on the
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
So Chicago and Green Bay, 199 regular season games. In terms of touchdown passes all time, this is the Bears' best of list. Cutler threw 15 and Sid Luckman threw 16. As many as Bart Starr did. But with three tonight, Aaron Rodgers is at 50. He's closing in on Brett Favre, who had 53. I mean, you take 1, 2, 3, and 4 on the Bears list, it only adds up to 49. And Aaron has 50 of his own, and then Brett has 53 as well. It's been a long, almost three decades for Bears fans. You show up for this Packer game, and you got to watch two first ballot Hall of Famers come at it while you're banging around trying to find the right quarterback yes. in Chicago yeah. year after year after year.
We know. God. Like, I know Boomer just told us some of that stuff.
Sid Luckman.
Like, every game. And I know we've done the national TV bingo and, you know, over-unders for segment. Like, oh, there's the bean, and there's deep dish, and the QB graphic, and all of that stuff. But, like, that game last night, it was like an SNL skit of it. Oh, let's break out Jim McMahon. Let's bring out John C. Riley. Let's mention Sid Luckman. Did I mention Mahomes and Watson? What about a quarter century of Hall of Fame quarterbacking in Green Bay? Let's add up all the Bears that you have to do before you can get to the total of this one guy on the Green Bay. We know.
And Mitchell Trubisky will take over at the 32-yard line. Number two pick in the draft that later produced Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, his fourth year as the starter. So he was pulled in week three for Nick Foles.
Trying to get some of these TVs in the building turned off.
Oh, God. And on Twitch, Nate says, well, what else can you say about the Bears, though? Oh, I understand why they're doing it. I'm saying it's how pathetic the Bears have been when you think about what they're going back and referencing. They're not talking about Devin Hester. Like, they could do that. They could do something. I'm like, hey, there were 9 touchbacks in this game. Remember the greatest returner in NFL history? And show you something on Devin Hester or Lance Briggs and Brian Urlacher. They could do something else. But if you want to talk about offensive football for the Bears, we got a Gale Sayers highlight last night. It's 85 Bears, it's Peyton, it's Sayers, it's Luckman. I wasn't alive for any of that. Like, that is a wild experience. And I know many of you are in an older demographic than I am, and it's your sweet spot, and it matters a great deal to you, and I'm not even trivializing that. I'm saying it's dated. Like, it comes across weird when you watch that game, and when they're talking about your team, it's a history lesson. And, like, old history, 30-plus years for all that stuff. Some of it 50 and 60, 70 years old. Like, it is a weird disconnect whenever the Bears are on Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night football, where you feel like part of the experience is a history lesson. It's not as if the Chiefs don't have history. They're on national TV plenty, but they're not talking about that stuff because they have a present tense. And that's just one example. There are so many others. I don't know what other franchise has to experience it in quite the same way that the Bears do. Because it's not like Bears-Packers is the only rivalry that matters in the NFL. Like, it feels fairly singular when you put it through the prism of, like, talking about offensive football and the team. They go back decades and decades and decades. And it's just, if anything should highlight the embarrassment beyond the play on the field, it's that stuff. I am just so sick and tired of all of it. And it doesn't mean it shouldn't be celebrated. It doesn't mean that it's not special to you. It doesn't mean it doesn't matter. But, like, me personally watching those broadcasts, it's nauseating to think, man, there hasn't been one thing in my lifetime of watching Bears football that they feel like is worthy of commemorating to 20 million people nationally. Shep, you're the exact same age as me. Do you feel the same way? Because it's not even that I'm mad at the networks. It just makes me mad at the Bears, where it's like a more collective thing than Pace, Nagy, Trubisky. It's like, damn, this has been my entire life. It's the same story all over again.
Yeah, and I mean, you touched on it with the Chiefs a little bit, but there's plenty of, if it's other rivalries, if it's like on Tuesday night when it's going to be the Steelers and Ravens, it'll actually be, if they go back in the time machine, the last 20 years or 25 years since the Ravens moved from Cleveland, it'll actually be playoff matchups between those two. It'll be meaningful games. It'll be divisions on the line. Not like last night. Like, how quickly into the game did we get when we got the lesson on Vince Lombardi time being shown at Lambeau Field, that they set their clocks 15 minutes early? It's like, this is already where we're at. This is how non-competitive the Bears are in primetime again, that we're getting a lesson on how they set their clocks at freaking Lambeau Field. That's what we're getting. But that's, you have no one to blame but the Bears' incompetence for it. Because if it was a competitive game, it was a compelling game, that it wasn't a blowout before halftime, then you're not getting that. You're actually getting discussion about, okay, yep, this is what went wrong on those plays. Instead, it's, you get the fourth quarter where the Bears are padding some stats and putting some points on the board in a game that's long been decided. Okay, yeah, that's something that Matt Nagy can feel good about. Maybe that's something Mitch Trubisky can feel good about. A fourth quarter touchdown, it's not all bad. It's like, oh my God, Tony Dungy.
It was very patronizing.
Like, you don't have to spit in our faces while this happens. Like, come on.
Yeah. But it's deserved. Like, the Bears' right. History deserves it. But you're 100% right. Steelers-Ravens tomorrow night, if they go to history, they'll talk about Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu. Cowboys-Eagles, if they go to history, they'll talk about Terrell Owens. Like, you don't – Chiefs-Raiders, like, maybe they'll go back to Marcus Allen, who played for the Chiefs in the 90s. But, like, it's at least something that I remember happening. Like, and I'm not saying that every reference has to be through my own prism and that things that happened before I was born are irrelevant. It's just wild that in the oldest rivalry in football, and they want to talk about offense for the two teams, you can't do one thing from any of our lifetimes of the four people working on this show. That's a bizarre state of affairs. That is a weird thing to experience four times a year when you watch the Bears, because it's the same damn thing every freaking week. 312-644-6767. Let's get some Bears Mondays called in. We got Mark Grody at 4 o'clock. Massey is in Bradley. Massey, you're on the score. What's up, man?
He dropped.
Oh, Massey's gone. My bad. I apologize. Let's go to...
I'll give you two here. Go to Adam in Buffalo Grove.
Okay, what's up, Adam?
Hey, I was looking this up last night, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this and what this means for the organization. So I was looking, since 1994, the Bears have played the Packers 54 times and have won 13. I just want to know, just in general, what does that say to you guys about this organization as a whole, where they are ownership level in Ted Phillips? And, like, just, is that just complacency or ineptitude with the organization? Because it boggles my mind that they can't beat their biggest rival.
Yeah, I mean, it's everything, right? Like, Ted Phillips isn't on the field. The biggest reason, and I appreciate the call, Adam, the single biggest reason why the Packers have dominated the Bears recently is very simple, and everybody knows it. It's quarterback, right? Mike McCarthy was no genius at coach. He had Aaron Rodgers. He kicked the crap out of the Bears. It's very simple. You have a great quarterback, you're going to have an advantage. They've had a great quarterback going back literally a quarter century now. So that's the reason why it's being more mishandled recently. Again, it's not to excuse Ted Phillips. I'd have zero problem with the guy getting fired. He's, at this point, almost a symbol or a boogeyman of what's been wrong with the Bears. But he has empowered Ryan Pace on the football department. They have spent money on scouting. They have spent money on Halas Hall renovations. Like, they have modernized the Bears recently. So the complaints of, like, the meddling accountant from, you know, the Dave Wannstedt era and the Ditka era and that sort of thing, like, that is an era gone by for the Bears. But if they were going to announce that they hired a, you know, Theo Epstein-esque figure to be the president of the Bears, who had a football background, who then hired a general manager, who then hired a coach, and completely redid the organizational hierarchy, I'd be the first guy in line supporting it. Just some of the complaints of Ted Phillips at this point are a little outdated. Shane, is there another one that you want to recommend there?
Yeah, let's go to Chris and Mokina.
Okay, Chris, be quiet. It'll be cold.
Chris, you're on the score. Who are we telling to be quiet right now?
Oh, I'm telling my son. Hey, I'm just saying, I mean, what is right? They need to give Virginia some of Joe Biden's Alzheimer medicine. I mean, Ryan Pace needs to go. I mean, look at his three quarterbacks. You got Mike Glennon, Mitchell Trubisky, and Nick Foles. Look at his draft picks. Kevin White, not on the team. Michael Floyd, not on the team. Mitchell Trubisky, not going to be on the team next year. I mean, this guy has to go. What other general manager in 5 years doesn't have a first-round draft pick on his team?
Well, okay. Do you want me to fact-check you, or you want to just forget it? He's rolling. How do you want to handle this, Chris?
Well, I mean, look at it. Michael Floyd,
do you like Roquan Smith?
Kevin White, not going to be on the team.
Yeah, no, I know. You're right about that.
I mean, look at his three quarterbacks. Mitchell Trubisky, and Nick Foles. Look at his three quarterbacks.
I have. Trust me. Okay, no, thank you for the call, Chris.
How is this guy still employed? Name me another general manager that has three shitty quarterbacks.
Oh, there it is. There
it took a lot longer
is.
Than I thought it would take, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I mean, it's not even worth it. Let's see. Doesn't have Alzheimer's. It's Leonard Floyd.
Yeah, he messed up a couple names there.
Roquan Smith on the team. It's okay.
Blame his kid for being loud.
Yeah.
He's got to yell.
Probably saying, give me some help. Get me out of here.
Yeah, I'm trapped. Chris and Mokina, if you spot him in a white van,
did you hear what he's saying to the kid? Well, just be quiet. It's going to be cold. He keeps the kid outside with his dogs.
Yeah, God. It's freezing out there, Chris. We got a child endangerment case on our hands if we want one. God, that was ridiculous. Hey, Shane, how'd the voice memos go?
Buddy, let me tell you. I am very much looking forward to comparing these and Tanny and my standards for what these calls should be, comparing these to the first round. Because, folks, you did a little bit better, but you're still horrible at it.
All right, well, I want to get a sampling before Mark Grody next on the score.
Danny Parkin Show Flashback.
This is the worst 3-1 team in football. Good God. Missing tackles. A-Rob's giving up the ball. Foles looks like a turtle taking a... God, just fire them all.
We're still not convinced that that wasn't Shep leaving us a voice memo 4 games into the season when we tried the modified version of the old voicemail bit during the game. And we went away from it. As you can tell, that was after 4 games. The Bears have now played 11 games. So that was a solid 2 months ago. 8 weeks, the last time we did the voice memo bit. And Shane, Shep, Tanny, and I were texting during the Bears game. And Tanny, who we know is a huge fan of the voicemails.
Loves
right,
it.
Tanny? You just love listening to
it. Yeah, any listener-driven content, always A1 in my book.
Right. And that's what everybody knows about Tanny. He's like, if your stupid voice memo bit is ever going to work, now's the game to do it.
Give me some credit, though. If no one else brought up the bit in all those games that have gone by, I thought maybe after some bye weeks, 7 or 8 bye weeks, the bit would be fresh. And
yep.
If there was any opportunity, I thought last night would be a good time to do it. Give me at least that.
I was trying
to make it work for you guys.
I don't know what's hard for you about this. You don't have to listen to them. I listen to them and edit them. It's not you.
Why he listens to the show. So, like, this is what's hard for him.
Yeah,
like, the next 6 minutes is what's difficult for Tanny. So, we solicited your feedback, mostly during halftime, when the Bears were getting their ass kicked, and a little bit later into the second half and at the end of the game. And how many did – so, Shep sees them first. The filtration system is basically Shep to Shane to the air.
Yes.
And so – I haven't heard him.
I'm trying to figure out a way so I don't have to hear him at all ever. So we're working on that. It's, you know, it's an ongoing process.
Yeah, right. And so Tanny's just, you know, he's a listener just like us here. So I don't know how many we have. I don't know how many made it through the filtration system, but we know that last time was an absolute unmitigated disaster. Let's see if you guys did better or worse by sending your voice memos during Bears Packers.
Yeah, Danny, I was giving you a voice memo about the second half of the Bears game and what's going to happen next. Mitch is going to come out and lead the Bears down for an 89-yard.
Have you had enough of that guy already? Have you had enough?
I mean,
are you on more?
The fakest voice in the history of fake voices.
It sounds like Russ doing a bit, our very own Russ Matera. Okay, Russ, I thought he was doing a bit to help us out, which I appreciate. But
yeah, okay, let's keep it going.
Touchdown drive. Cole Kmet, touchdown. Next thing's going to happen, Bears going to get a turnover. Touchdown, Bears defense. Next thing you know, Mitch Trubisky comes back. He's back. He's back. He's got a touchdown, Anthony Miller. Bears score. Bears score.
It goes on like this for 7 minutes.
All right, I don't want to hear anymore. Jesus Christ.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, so that made it through. Okay, Shep, yeah, you want to say something, please?
I think, Shane, was that the one I emailed you or forwarded you and said, I'm only sending you this so it's on the record because I'm pretty sure this guy's going to kill all of us? Was that him or was that a different one?
There were a couple like that.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. Yeah. That. Yep. That's what this one was.
Okay. So that.
So for the record, I didn't want that one on the air. I just wanted it to be, okay, here's the file of this. Here's any information because I'm scared for our lives.
Well, turns out that was the best one.
Well, yeah, there's a few more here. I think Daniel liked this one a little bit more.
It's currently halftime right now, and to be honest with you, the only reason why I'm still going to watch this game is for Max Rustifer. Let's go, Danny Parkins.
Yeah. Yeah. Rustifer had a great debut at center last night. Guy was balling out. You didn't hear his name called once on the broadcast. They couldn't bring themselves to say Rustifer. You know what I always say? Tanny says it too. If you want your offensive linemen to be invisible out there, if you're not mentioning them, that means they're doing a great job or something like that with the saying. So good job by Rustifer. Good job by that caller. All right, what's next, Tanny? What do we got?
Tanny, I'm watching this game. I'm drunk as hell. Give me one reason why I shouldn't start doing cocaine again.
Oh.
Fun fact, he's recording that into a fish tank.
Yeah, it's highly addictive and bad for your heart and your brain. And it's illegal. So don't smoke crack or do drugs. Okay, that was the Bears are driving people to illicit narcotics. That's not good. What else on the voice memo segment that I'm pretty sure is going to either end today or end all of our careers, whichever comes first?
This is probably the best one. Like, you know, sound logic, you know, a new contributor. We enjoyed this one, I think.
Everyone's going to blame Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, and rightfully so, but the biggest blame I'm going to put on is my father for making me a Bears fan since day one, and this team has me gripped by my throat, so I couldn't even leave if I want to. But the silver lining to this is I will never get my heart broken because this team breaks my heart every single week, and I am done with it. But will I stop being a Bears fan? No, because that's the life of every Chicago sports fan, because we just suck until we have a one great year, and then we go back to sucking and I'm over it.
She's right. That's like the bottom of sports fandom when you start blaming your parents.
Hey, you don't have a co-host slotted for tomorrow, right?
I don't.
We can email her.
That'd be great. Yeah, it was going to be Aunt Heron, but I think maybe I'm solo tomorrow. I'm not really sure. It's a day at a time around here. Yeah, let's bring her in. How about her and Kevin from Palatine? We could do that.
We were thinking about you, Kevin, all night last night.
Yeah, we were waiting for you to call, to voice memo, to do it. But yeah, I think we've all been there, right? When your team is terrible and you just blame your parents for forcing a team upon you. I don't even have that excuse. My dad's a Packer fan, my mom's a Chiefs fan. So I don't know what happened to me. Just poor lifestyle choices or something like that. Do we have any others, Tanny, or are we done?
Yeah, speaking of the Chiefs.
Hey, Danny, I don't know about the Bears. No, I'm really a Chiefs fan.
Did you think that guy was a Bears fan? That was a pretty good Chicago accent there. Did he have you fooled?
Good Lord. I'm so sorry.
I'm just calling in to say thank you to Chicago, to the Chicago Bears, for letting Patrick Mahomes slip to Andy Reid, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. Sit back. You're going to have a long offseason, so why don't you just sit back, come over here, and come enjoy the show. The best show in the world, which is the Kansas City Chiefs, and the soon-to-be greatest quarterback of all time. Thank you, Bears.
Danny, you know how people criticize you doing your job? Like, oh, this guy sucks as a radio host.
And rightfully so.
They all sound like that. Anybody else who would try to replace you to do your job sounds like that moron.
Is there a compliment in there?
Yeah, of course.
I look at you, you're like, you know how like everybody thinks you suck.
I didn't say everybody. Criticizes
you.
I just said people. The people that insult you sound like that when they talk sports. Is what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah. Well, trust me. I'm confident that there's not everybody out there who could do this job, and I'm confident that guy could not do that job. But damn, I gotta say, he's not exactly wrong.
So are we done with the bit or what? I think that's
I think we're done. Yes. I think we're retiring the bit.
Thanks, listeners.
Yeah, let's retire that one. Let's retire that one. Okay, that's the end of the voice memo bit. We tried. We came, we saw, we did not conquer. We failed. Mark Grody never fails. He's texted me many things for his Moby Ditka Bears report. I am very excited to discuss all things Bears with Moby Ditka next on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.